one of my favorite songs. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. In my Bible, the reading for today is titled Sin, Faith, and Duty. And any one of those three things could be a whole sermon in and of itself. But Jesus molded them together for a reason. He wasn't talking to the crowds this time. He was talking to his disciples, a very special group of people for him. These were the future leaders that he was leaving his ministry to. So today, I will address another special group of people, which is mothers. And I grant you that not everyone has been blessed with a good mother, but we will address the attributes of a good mother who follows Christ as the best example in this world. Only God himself fully appreciates the influence of a Christian mother in the molding and the character in her children. Jesus started the reading today by addressing sin, and we can't address our faith without first recognizing that sin is also part of our lives. After all, the acknowledgement of our sin is what grows our faith. Matthew Henry addressed this well. He said, "You must be converted, you must be of another mind, in another frame and temper. You must have other thoughts, both of yourself and of the kingdom of heaven, before you will be fit for a place in it. The pride, the ambition, the love of honor, the love of dominion, which appear in you, must be repented of, reformed, and must come to yourselves." This grace that we were converted through makes us like little children. And I don't mean foolish or playful, but harmless and inoffensive and humble under the command of God. Spurgeon said it a different way, but he still referred to children. He said, "Someone said to him, 'This is a growing day.' 'I hope we shall all be growing spiritually,' he said, 'not larger, but smaller. If we can become much less today, we shall be growing. We may have grown up, but today let us grow down and become as children, or else we shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Isn't that the cutest baby ever? When we talk about causing people to stumble, we also address children. Especially in today's world, there are mothers and fathers that aren't in a leadership role. They are not leading. So Jesus clearly addresses his disciples, and he talks about leadership through avoiding sin. It's growing in faith and living out our duty to God's will. That's a really tall order for each of us. But especially with new believers, we have to lead by example. There are too many Christians who want it both ways. They want to live with their certain vices and stay in that lifestyle, and yet then enter the kingdom of God in heaven. We can't have it both ways. We sin daily by commission, doing things that we don't want to do, and by omission, not doing things we want to do. Paul wasn't the only one that addressed that. But we can't have it both ways. Especially as Christian leaders, we also always must be aware of our own behavior, and every single one of us sins. The disciples wanted enough faith necessary for radical forgiveness. So as Jesus spoke to his disciples about sin and forgiveness, and specifically about our sin causing others to sin, they were appalled. They immediately said, "Increase our faith, Lord." They knew that only through faith, through growth in their faith, could they redirect themselves as they began sinning, and especially in our thoughts. We have to redirect ourselves all the time. So how do we do that? Well, in daily communion with God, through conversational prayer. It's not just a special prayer in the morning and a special prayer in the evening, but it's conversational prayer with God all day long, knowing that our best friend is standing right beside us all day long. And we do everything we need to do in and through him. Amen? Amen. Truly, the hardest part of leading by example it comes by not taking offense and not giving offense. Now, how do we give offense? Well, persecutors give offense by injuring others. Seducers give offense by corrupting the truth of Christ. But Christians who don't live pure lives weaken and sadden the community of believers as well. So you see, we can all be quite easily give and receive offense. Sometimes what we perceive as another's offense might merely be an oversight on their part. Sometimes we don't realize the pressure cooker that other people are living under, so we beg pardon in our misunderstanding. As Christians, we are called to rebuke sinful behaviors, don't get me wrong, but we are not called to resent others. The frustration comes when people continue in the same behaviors over and over again, and mothers deal with this with their children all the time. Pastor Benjamin Beckley said, "Every offense not properly handled will give room for enmity, which is a state of feeling hostile or opposed. And many times this opens the door for Satan to step in." For example, King Saul was quite offended when the people were hailing David and singing songs to David as he entered back into the city. And Saul, right then and there, took offense, and he plotted to kill David and made that his lifelong ambition. Abraham, on the other hand, discovered how to handle an offense, and he refused to be offended when Lot started arguing over land. This is the difference. So let us not allow our offense to open doors for Satan. Amen? As offense builds up inside of us, it creates bitterness, and it closes the door to heaven and builds wickedness. But our ability to properly handle offense is a true test of our spiritual growth and our maturity. So instead of offense, we ask today for increased faith and grace, and we forgive more easily, and we feed our mind on God's word. Today being Mother's Day, we have an example before us of someone who has sacrificed continually and forgives often. Good mothers must have a forgiving spirit in order to continue along the road of motherhood. We couldn't survive motherhood without it. They look with love on their children, and they forgive bad behaviors, and then they forgive again and again and again. They take that child back into their arms and hug them in comfort. And that's an example of God, because as we repent of our sinful behaviors, God takes us back in his arms, and he hugs us and he comforts us every time. We, like the disciples, then say, "Increase our faith, Lord. Help us to be more self-sacrificing like you, Lord. Help us to not take offense so easily. Help us to love others unconditionally while still hating sin and being able to rebuke it in love." Do we make the best of every person that we meet? The disciples knew that as their faith grew stronger, so did their ability to forgive others and our ability to follow Christ in each moment. McHenry stated, "Let the discoveries of faith be more clear to us. Let us discover faith as it grows. Let the desires of faith be more strong. Increase in us a desire for more and more faith, Lord. Let the dependencies of faith be more firm and fixed on Jesus. Let the dedication of our faith be more entire and resolute." This is the hardest one, I think. The dedication of our faith to be more entire and more resolute. Let the delights of our faith be more pleasing. I love this. It says, I have a mustard seed and I'm not afraid to use it. A little itty bitty mustard seed, very, very tiny. But Jesus himself said, all you need is the faith of a mustard seed and you can move a mountain. And we forget that, don't we? The mustard seed is small, but it's alive and it's growing. It starts gradually and it grows to see a change, just like our faith. Like the disciples, then we should have our daily prayer be, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith continually. Most of our mothers knew that perfection was not going to happen in us or in them, the children. But they had the blessed assurance of relying on God in every moment. With faith as small as that little mustard seed, we can assist in the faith growth of others, especially our children. After all, a mustard tree is big and it's strong. And the mustard harvest is a very strong flavor. And it's even been used as a poultice for many ailments. As our faith grows, so grow the many opportunities and adventures in Jesus that we receive. Faith gives us assurance. When Christina was in jail, I knew her. While she had dreams and ambitions, I know that she never expected to be leading a nonprofit organization like Bags of Love that fed homeless with food and spiritual food as well. When Marcella was in rehab, she didn't expect to be a conduit to bring others to Christ. But today, she's the manager of House of Grace, and she talks with women every day in the role of like a mother, and gives advice, gives discipline if needed, but also talks about her relationship with Jesus. Faith gives us humility as we realize how little we're all called, excuse me, to be ministers. We realize that there's nothing that we can do on this earth to earn a right standing with God. We don't earn it. Rather, our entire lives should be our debt of gratitude back to God. So what does our life look like if we are living a life of gratitude to God? As children grow and become parents, they realize how difficult parenting really is. As mothers, especially, we question ourselves almost daily. Why did I yell like that? Why was I not more patient like Jesus? How can I influence or make a difference in my child's life? Why won't they listen to me? Only when we come humbly to our knees and ask for a double portion of faith do we receive what God has for us. We have to first be saved, and then after receiving and realizing what salvation has done for us, then and only then can we serve each other and can we serve our children without pride. How do we do that? How do we serve our children without pride? How do we serve our parents and others around us without pride? Like the disciples, we ask for a double portion of faith. Because that faith comes in tandem with humility. And we didn't earn anything. We didn't earn our salvation. Faith also gives us the ability to set aside offenses. This is real servanthood. The real servanthood that Jesus talked about. That means continuing when we're exhausted, or we're hungry, or we're angry. It means seeing this as our duty, as a mother sees herself, providing clean clothes or a clean house or preparing meals or bedtime stories when she doesn't feel like it. Finish strong. Finish strong with the duty behind servanthood. The next slide says, waiting isn't just something we have to do until we get what we want. Waiting is part of the process of becoming what God wants us to be. Waiting is the hardest part. It means, as McHenry said, when we have been working for God, we must still be waiting on God. And I don't know about you, but I expect that when I pray and I ask for something, I'll receive it immediately. I don't want to wait. I don't like waiting in grocery stores. I don't like waiting in banks. And I don't like waiting on the Lord. But sometimes that's his answer, is wait. So how do we wait on him as disciples of Christ, or as mothers in this crazy world? We stay with him constantly in conversational prayer. We stay with him in a devotion. We read his word. We listen to his word through radio, through iPods, through, I'll just say, other technology, because anybody who knows me knows I don't know what the other technology is anyway. And what happens then? Our hearts will be full and grateful. Not self-righteous. For Christians, then, the term of mother and father has to mean more than what it does to the rest of the world today. We are serving Christ, amen? Only then can we finish strong, in the strength of a disciple. And how do we serve Christ like a mother serves her children? When we're sleep deprived, we can still be a comfort to our spouse or our children. When our hearts are sad, we can still say, I love you forever. When fear tries to take over, we can proclaim, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When regrets over yesterday well up inside us, we can declare, as I used to tell my children, the sun will still rise tomorrow. And as Christians, the sun, S-O-N, will still be here tomorrow. Maranatha, could be today. Spurgeon said, if we're servants, the slave of Christ, we will rejoice to be so, because in this lies our deliverance from bondage. I'm going to say that again. If we are servants of Christ, if we're the slaves of Christ, we're going to rejoice to be so, because in this rejoicing lies our deliverance from bondage. It's our bondage to sin that we receive in rejoicing in Jesus Christ. It's in this duty that we can go on beyond servanthood into duty. We hold our thoughts captive to God alone. If we're completely subject to Jesus, we suddenly have freedom that we didn't have before. This thought makes our spirit sing, and we give praise and glory to God for all he has done. When I'm alone in the car, I turn up my praise music and I sing at the top of my lungs. My voice isn't what it used to be. It never was great, but it's really not great now. But you know what? Jesus hears me. He hears me. And he hears me praise. And it's a joyful noise to him. In freedom in Christ gives us a spirit that sings. Amen? Jesus is coming back soon. And our little mustard seed of faith, like our children, is growing. And as it's watered and cared for, it's growing taller than my hollyhocks. As our faith grows, our heart is so full, it sometimes feels like it's going to pop right out of our chest. The pride that a mother takes in her children is dwarfed by the full heart of us knowing Jesus very well. The feeling of being held and cuddled by mom is similar to being held and cuddled by God. And Spurgeon prayed that our heart was bound to him, that our hands were serving him, that our tongues were bound to him, and longed to speak only of him. Lord, bind our eyes, our nerves, our muscles in absolute bondage only to your will, so we can be Christian servants of God and thus we should be humble servants. And we know our service can never be done. In our faith walk here on earth, we have never arrived. And motherhood doesn't stop at age 18 either. Ask any mother of an adult child today, and you will find that they pray for their children daily, and they still worry about their children, and they still want the very best for their children. Farmers don't go out to plow once and say, okay, it's done for life now. The servant in today's text came in from plowing, washed his hands, and served food. And our dependence on God doesn't quit, nor does our service to him. Rick may have retired, but he will still represent God as best he can wherever he goes, and we will still serve God in the jails and on any occasion needed. How many blessings would we miss if we felt like we had to qualify for those blessings? No, God is gracious. He takes us as we are. He forgives us like a mother. And he'll use us to his glory. Amen? Amen? A true servant of Christ gives hope when all the hope is gone. And he gives a smile when only Jesus can give them the strength to do so. And she serves others when energy isn't forthcoming. While we were yet servants of Satan, we ran through our own corrupt desires. We were in bondage to sin. I grew up with a prayer of confession talking about that, and I'd like you to join me in it now. It's up here, almost. There it is. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your name, amen. Our servanthood and our duty is never done. And as mothers delight in their children, we delight to walk in the way of Jesus. What a blessing and a responsibility for life. Amen? Amen. Amen.